Good morning, everyone. Running just a couple of minutes behind already, but, well, not really. Usually I have it on just a little bit before. And it's good to be here on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, and the day we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a blessing that is, and we have hope. And you know, as Christians, every time we meet together on the first day of the week, on Sunday, that is a celebration that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's already been a good day. I've heard one of the Sunday school classes has started meeting on Zoom. And I heard Brother Terry teaching there and heard them talking and giggling just a little bit. And that done my heart good. And I'm glad they could get together and fellowship just a little bit that way. And then the ladies got together on Messenger, and they were sharing prayer requests and had prayer. And I trust that you have been praying as well. We're going to get started here in just a few moments. We're letting people have time to get on Facebook. So we hope you've shared this, and we look for the Lord to meet with us today. That's the most important thing. Now, got something a little special for you today. Kim is going to come over and say hello to everybody, and she's going to pray with us. We're all going to pray together, but she's going to lead in prayer this morning, and I really put her on the spot asking her to do that, but I thought it would do everybody good to see the pastor's wife, and she is not in her pajamas today, and so we're thankful for that. She got up and got all dressed for Easter, and we all did. And so we're just thankful that we have this avenue to fellowship together. And the important thing is that the Lord meets with us. So, Kim, you come over and say hello this morning. And I'm going to let her do that. And no, I'm going to go over there. And she's going to pray also. And then Chloe's going to come and sing.
Good morning. To clarify, I was getting up and getting dressed anyway. Before he asked me to pray, but I want to say happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day to everyone, and I miss our families and our friends and our church family, and I miss my little ones at church. I teach the 2 to 4 year olds, and I have a verse for them, so I hope that they're listening as well with their parents, and a lot of times we repeat our memory verse, but today I want all of them, their parents, to get with them and repeat Matthew 28:6, "He is not here, for he is risen." And I'm thankful for that, and lots to pray about, but Wynn did come ask me if I would come and pray, and so have many prayer requests, but let's do go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the day, and I thank you for all your blessings. And I just ask, God, that you would be with the many, many requests, Lord, that's on hearts, God. I have several on my heart. I pray especially this morning for our friends, Lord, in Colorado, their special prayer request. You know what that is, God, and I just lift it to you. And I pray, God, for the many that are sick, Lord, for our country, Lord, the virus going on. I pray that you would touch each one of those, Lord, and for your will to be done. I pray especially too, Lord, for those that are sin sick, Lord, those that don't know you as their personal Savior. I just pray, God, that something could just prick their hearts, Lord, and that just anything, something said, a prayer, just whatever, that they would see their need for salvation, God. And I just thank you for your blessings. I thank you for healing. I thank you, Lord, for just all that you've done for us. And I just thank you for this day, God. Lord, that we are celebrating, Lord, Easter, God, that you died on the cross and that you rose and that you are in heaven waiting for us. And I thank you, Lord, that you saved me. And, Lord, that's just what it's all about. And I just pray, God, that you'd be with Wynn now as he brings the word to us. Just help us to just take it to heart. And I pray you'd be with Chloe as she comes to sing. And I just pray that you'd just be with each of us, Lord, just during this time. Help us just to reflect on you and just keep our hearts on you, Lord. And in the end, Lord, that we know you're in control and we know that you're going to take care of us no matter what. comes our way. And we just thank you, Lord, again for your blessings and ask these things in Jesus' name. God, amen.
Amen.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I because he lives, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain day, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, oh, he holds the future. And life is worth living just because he lives.
Amen. Thank you. That was a blessing. She's been singing that all week long, getting ready for today. And that, I really appreciate her singing and using the talent that the Lord has given her. We all need to do that, use the talent that the Lord's given us. To do his work. And so today, what we're going to do, we're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. You may have seen that on the screen already. And I'm going to read several verses today, more than I usually would read. But I'm going to start in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13 down through verse number 35. So that's a lot of verses. I want you to get your Bible and read along and really try to pay attention in your mind what is going on as we read. I know a lot of times people, you know, they talk about reading my Bible, didn't get anything out of it. It's hard to concentrate and you're thinking about everything else that's going on and just a different days. I've heard, I don't know how many times, these are crazy days we're living in. And so they are. But as Chloe was standing there singing and Kim came over and prayed this morning, I thought to myself, you know, one of these days we're going to look back and think back and, you know, say, you know, I remember when we had church right here in the kitchen. And we don't know how long this is going to be going on. I hope it's not very long, but however long it is, we will do the best we can with what we have. And that's what Christians have done all down through the centuries. The Apostle Paul spent much of his ministry in prison, chained to a Roman soldier, quarantined, you might say. But he didn't waste that time. He used that time. And he wrote the prison letters that we have in the Bible. So thank the Lord for that. But Luke chapter number 23, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13, and I'm going to read all the way down through verse number 35. Luke chapter 24, verse number 13, the Bible said, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And so that's several verses of scripture, and I'm going to go over all of these verses, at least try to point out what is going on in this passage of scripture. But I want to go back to verse 17 and 18, and I want to read those verses again. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And so Cleopas says to the Lord Jesus Christ, who then he didn't know who he was talking to, but he said, don't you know what is happening in these days? Are you a stranger? Are you unaware of what has been going on? And what he is referring to there, what had happened in Jerusalem in these days, all the events of the past few days. And if you read, and I read again to refresh my memory once again this morning, I read Luke chapter 23 and Luke chapter number 24, and in the past several days in Jerusalem, a lot of things had gone on. Well, it was the time of the Passover in Jerusalem. There's a lot of people gathered together there to celebrate the Passover. But during the Passover, the night of the Passover, the Lord Jesus Christ had been arrested. He'd been arrested. He had been taken before the Jewish Sanhedrin. He had been taken before Pilate. He had been taken before Herod. He'd been put on trial. He had been beaten, a crown of thorns upon his head. They plucked out his beard. They mocked him. They beat him in the face, and they crucified him. All of these things had taken place. On the evening of the crucifixion, when Jesus had died, they took his body down from the cross. They buried him in a tomb. Roman soldiers had been sent out to bury, to guard the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another Sabbath day had taken place. They weren't able to get out and move around and do anything. And then Friday, and then Saturday, and then the news, the rumors from the other disciples, you know, the women had seen a vision, but they hadn't seen him. And Simon had went, and he had looked in the tomb, but he didn't see him. And all of these things had been happening on those days. And so Jesus had been crucified, he had been buried, and he had risen again on the third day. So he is alive. He is alive, and he is walking along talking with these two disciples, but they do not know that's him. They do not understand and see that that is who is talking to them. And so the disciples are walking along, and the Bible says that they are sad. They are sad. And as I read, and I was thinking about that, a word that came to my mind earlier this week is the word despondent. Despondent means this, and I'm going to read the definition. It means losing courage at the loss of hope. Losing courage at the loss of hope. Sinking into dejection, depressed, and inactive in despair. There's a lot of D words in that definition for the word despondent there. The words, I think about the word despondent, the word dejected. They'd felt dejected because of what had gone on. They were depressed. They were in despair. They were walking along on the road to Emmaus, and the Bible says that they were sad. They were downcast in their hearts over what had happened over the past few days. And so when you think about these days, and I underline that in my Bible in verse number 19, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days. These days had taken a toll upon the disciples. And so I think today the message is very pertinent to our situation that we're living in these days. There's a lot of things that are going on and have been going on, and it is definitely taking a toll on everybody. Even the disciples of the Lord, even Christians, are affected by these days. I want to preach on the subject today on the cure for despondency. Because by the end of this chapter, the disciples have a whole different outlook. The cure for despondency. And what got me thinking about this, I really felt it earlier this week. One day, maybe 2 days ago, maybe Thursday or Friday. I don't remember exactly what day it was, but the the weather changed. It's been horrible weather. We've had to stay inside. Now, if I can get outside and I can work outside and be in the sunshine and it's warm, man, that just really lifts my spirits. And I think everybody else is like that. But when it turns cold again and the wind was just howling and you couldn't get outside and do anything, bitter cold, and then you sort of feel like, man, I'm all cramped up and I can't go anywhere, and despondency can set in upon us, losing courage in the loss of hope, sinking into dejection, depressed and inactive in despair. It's easy for us to get in that kind of shape, you know, sort of where we just have the attitude, you know, nothing matters, whatever, you know, is it even important? Our lives have changed so much in a very short period of time. But I want to preach on the subject, the cure for despondency. Now, before we see the cure, the first thing I want to point out is the cause. What caused them to walk along and they're sad, they're communing, that means they're talking together, and they're walking along on the road to Emmaus, and they are sad, is what the Bible says. Well, the cause of their despondency, first of all, under the cause of their despondency is their conversation, what they were talking about. Look back in verse number 14, and I'm going to read verse 14 and verse number 15. And the Bible said, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, we don't know the particulars of their conversation, except they had been talking about these things. These things that I just mentioned. Jesus had been arrested. He'd been put on trial. It was a mock trial. It was a fake proceeding. And it was, you know, they just had one thing in mind. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. And that's exactly what they tried to do. They took him. They abused him. They crucified him. He hung upon the cross. The disciples saw him hanging there. They saw him taken down from the cross. They saw where he had been buried. They were talking about all of these things that had happened. That's what the Bible says. We know the result of their conversation in verse number 17. It sure wasn't lifting them up. It sure wasn't making them happy. It wasn't edifying them. They were not encouraging one another. They were walking along, and the Bible said in verse number 17 that as ye walk and are sad. They were walking along and they were sad over the things that had happened. Verse number 21, when they responded to what Jesus said to them, they said in verse number 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And so what they say there in verse number 21, they inferred that they had been done wrong. We trusted he was the one. This is the one, you know, we've spent time, we've been his disciple, we've been following the Lord Jesus, and we trusted, you know, we really had our hopes on him, that he was the Messiah, that he would deliver us, that he would be the one. And now they're walking along and they're thinking, you know, maybe he wasn't the one. Maybe we've had our hope in the wrong person. Maybe we've done all of this in vain. And they're walking along and they're sad. Let me say, a lot of times our conversation causes us to be despondent. Our conversation causes us to be sad, to be depressed, to be dejected. I know how the modern day disciples are. A lot of times we get together and, you know, I've noticed in the past several weeks, you will rarely meet anybody. And I know our meeting of people has been restricted a great deal, but everybody, what's everybody talking about? They're talking about the virus. They're talking about what's going to happen. We don't know, and all the uncertainty and all of these things. And our talk is gloomy. Our talk is negative many times. Our talk is, we are downcast. Our talk is without faith. We're not talking about a lot of times, you know, what's the Lord going to do through this and by this. We're talking about, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to all of us? Our talk many times causes us to be despondent. And the disciples, as they walk along, they're talking about, well, all these things that had happened, and they're sort of offended at the Lord. We trusted that He was the one. And now look at all the things that's happened. And you know, as I really think about how the disciples would have felt at that time, don't you think that they thought to themselves, you know, if they arrested and crucified Jesus, we're next. You know, they're going to come after Peter. They're going to come after John. They're going to come after all the rest of us. No wonder they were despondent. Jesus had died and they all seen where He was buried. Can you imagine the finality of all that? They had trusted that He was going to be the Messiah, that He was going to deliver them from Roman rule, that He was going to come in and set up His kingdom at that time. They had trusted all of these things, and now Jesus is dead and they're walking along and they're sad about these things. What we talk about and how we talk about things can cause us to be despondent, can cause us to be depressed. And let me say, you know, the conversations with two or less people are the worst. You say, preacher, how can you have a conversation with two or less people? Well, these two were walking along and they were sad. And the Bible says they were talking, they were communing with each other. And these two walking along, they are sad. But you know, I can have a worse conversation with myself. Do you ever get to talking in your head? And you're talking to yourself about, and here's how we are sometimes, you know, how bad things are and how things aren't going to, and man, we can talk ourselves into the worst scenario. And I mean, you don't even have to be watching the news. You can just walk along and talk with yourself and get yourself in a very foul shape. Our conversation ruins us sometimes. So the cause of their despondency, one was their conversation, how they were talking and what they were talking about. And the second thing is their conclusions which they had made. Now, the Bible says in verse number 21, and I've read this, I'm going to read it again. It said, but we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. See, they believed that He was the Messiah, and the Messiah was going to come, and man, everything was going to be different. We trusted that it should be He which redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They are hurt over the things that had happened in these past days. We trusted. We put our faith in this one. Now, let me say, everything that had happened, happened just exactly the way Jesus told them that it was going to happen. You study in the book of Matthew, you study in the book of Mark, and Jesus in His ministry started telling His disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed by the leaders. That is the language that you find in the Bible. I'll go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be buried, and I'll rise again the third day. That's the language Jesus used. Everything He told them was going to happen, happened just exactly the way He said. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to rise again the third day. Jesus had told them these things over and over and over again. But here's the thing. It had not turned out how they thought it was going to turn out. That's what gets us messed up sometimes. We might know what the Bible says, but in our minds we think things are going to be different. We've got it all thought out. We've got it all planned out. How we think things are going to turn out. And they don't always turn out that way. In fact, I've talked to a whole lot of people. And you know, preachers, and I'm one of them. We shouldn't be surprised that things are happening in the world that are changing the world. We've been preaching that for years. You know, we've been preaching the Lord's going to come. We've been preaching, you know, about the rise of the Antichrist, and the Bible teaches there'll be a one world government, and you know, all of these things. But who ever imagined that there would be a virus that would shut down the economies of the world and affect everybody? No, I never thought about that. lot of people never thought about things happening the way that they are happening right now. And so a lot of times things don't turn out the way that we think that they should turn out. And it causes us to be depressed, and it causes us to be despondent and downcast. And I want to say that as time goes on, and even, you know, let's say in a month things lighten up and we get back together and all of these things, life will not be like it was before. I really believe that, and I'm not being doomsday about it or anything like that, but I believe it's such an event that it'll be just like 9/11. Everybody that was alive before 9/11, we can talk about before 9/11, after 9/11. 9/11 changed the way the world did business, the way we traveled. It changed everything. This is going to change things. We can't have all these people out of work for this long and the government pumping money that's really not money, you know, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but you can't have all these earth-shattering things happening at the same time and it not affect us. A lot of people, what they thought they were going to do, their life is not going to be like that. Jobs change. School plans change. Young people, you know, I was going to go to college and I was supposed to graduate and all of this and all of that. Things are going to change. Life is probably not going to be like we thought that it was going to be. And when we see that happening in our lives, it depresses us sometimes. You know, I thought things would really be different by now. You know, no matter what the future holds, let me say this, the Word of God is still true. Psalms 23, I preached on that last Sunday. It's still going to be in there and it's still going to be true. Just like the Lord says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to take care of our needs. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19 is still going to be in the book. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. No matter what happens, we've still got our marching orders. We may not go about it the way we thought that we were going to, but we're still going to go about it. And I want to say I am amazed and impressed at how churches, at how God's people have adapted so quickly. You know, so we're not in church this morning. We're still doing the best we can to get the gospel out. That's what we've got to do. No matter what happens, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 is still in the book, that He works all things together. According to, you know, he works things out. And boy, that verse just slipped my mind. But to those that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose, He works things out. Hebrews 13:5 is still in the Bible. Let your conversation be without covetousness, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's still there. He's still God. He's still on the throne. Things may not be like we thought they were going to be, but He's still God. He's still in control. It's still in the book. Now, they didn't know it yet. Here's the thing. These disciples did not know this yet. But the one that they thought had let them down so much was right there with them. They thought Jesus was dead. But Jesus was right there with them. If we're not careful and things that goes on, we'll think, man, where's the Lord in all this? I'll tell you, He's right here with us. He was right there with the disciples in their lowest point. They just didn't see it yet. Sometimes we just don't see it yet. And so the cause of their despondency. Second of all, there's the consequences. What happened because of their despondency? They're walking along, they're sad, things haven't turned out how they thought they was that they should turn out. The consequences of that. Number one, it affected their direction. Now, if you look at verse number 13 and notice what the Bible says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem. What are they doing? They're going in the wrong direction. We get despondent. We lose our faith in the Lord. You know what happens? We begin to go in the wrong direction. They're going from Jerusalem. They are going away from where all the action is, where the Lord Jesus was. They give up. They're going back home. Look what the Bible says in verse number 22. They said, yea, and certain women also of our company. They had been with the disciples. They had been with the women that saw the angels. And the angels told them that Jesus was alive. They had been in the right company. But now for some reason they're going away from. They had left the company. We could say they had left the church. They'd left the disciples. They're going out. They're going back home. They'd give up on what the Lord was doing. They were headed in the wrong direction. And let me say, despair, despondency in our lives, giving up on the Lord. Do you know what that will cause us to do? It'll cause us, if we're not careful, we'll get our mind in a bad place and our heart away from the Lord. And the next thing you know, we've given up on God. We've given up on church. We've given up on prayer and reading our Bible and walking with the Lord. And we just, you know, we've thrown in the towel. Shame on us. But you know, the disciples were, they're no better than us. Peter said after the resurrection, hey fellas, I'm going back fishing. I'm going back to the way it was before. The disciples said, we're going home to Emmaus. This despondency in their life causes them to go in the wrong direction. I like Oswald Chambers. And he's a great devotional writer. Of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord. He wrote in the late 1800s or early 1900s, but Oswald Chambers, and he wrote the devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. And it's very, very common devotional. A lot of good things in it. Oswald Chambers said this, anything that savors of dejection spiritually is always wrong. Anything that savors of dejection spiritually is always wrong. If depression and oppression visit me, I am to blame. God is not, nor anyone else. Now, boy, I tell you, that's tough. Sometimes we get depressed, and I'll say, you know, I'm in the same boat. I got despondent this last week. Poor me, the wind's blowing, and I can't get outside and do anything. And it's went on and on and on. If you live here, you know what it was like. My goodness. And I like to be outside. But if we're not careful, this despondency will set in on us. And it's tough when depression comes along and when the bad thoughts come along. And, you know, it's tough, but I believe it's true. If that visits me, it's my own fault. I've let my heart get in a bad place. And that dark cloud comes in. This despondency, the consequences, they're headed in the wrong direction. And under that also, their discernment was not as it should have been. In verse number 16, now discern means to be able to see. And verse 16 said, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Despondency had blinded them. And you know what they see? All they see is the circumstances, but they cannot see the Lord. You ever been there? All I see is the circumstances. All I see is how bad everything looks. And that's all they could see. And they couldn't see the Lord. The Lord was walking along with them. But all they're talking about is these things that happened in Jerusalem. And man, it's the third day already. And the women said they saw some angels, but they didn't see him. And Simon found an empty tomb. And you know, we don't know what's happened. And the Lord is walking along with them right there. He's right there. They can't see that. Their eyes were holding that they could not see him. They had heard the news, but they couldn't see the truth. Well, I'll tell you, the news sometime will get us down, will get us our eyes turned away from the Lord. They couldn't see the truth. And you talk to people today, and all they're talking about is the virus, and all they're talking about is this, and all they're talking about is the economy. But I'll tell you, we need to see the Lord in this thing. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. If I was the devil, boy, I sure wouldn't want to stop the economy. I wouldn't want to stop sports. I wouldn't want to stop people going here and there and just going on the way we were going. I sure wouldn't want to set people down at home with their family and give them time to think about things. But you know, that's exactly where we are. And I was talking with my mom on the phone this morning, And, of course, we mentioned the virus and how things are. She said, I think it's a God thing. I think God has allowed this to slow us down, to get us to see things differently than we were. Somebody said, why would we go back to normal? Normal wasn't working. Well, I preached that last week. I'm not going to preach it again today. But their discernment. You know what we need to see and learn in all of this that's going on right now in these days that we're living in? We need to see the Lord. We need to ask ourselves the question, what does the Lord want us to learn from all of this? Their discernment was messed up. Their direction was in the wrong direction. Their disbelief had set in. Now, they had heard the good news that Jesus was alive, but they just couldn't believe it. You say, how could they have been walking with Jesus and not recognize that that was Him? Well, I'll show you that in just a moment. But now, you got to realize the last time they saw Jesus, He was hanging on a cross and He didn't even look like a person. When they beat Him, when they flogged Him, and I'm not going to get into all of this, but the Bible said in Isaiah 53, His visage was so marred more than any man, the flesh was hanging off His bones. His insides were outside of His body. His beard had been plucked out. The crown of thorns, they'd beaten Him. I mean, He didn't even look like a person. That's the last time they saw Him. And here He is walking beside them. I can see why they didn't recognize Him. It's not the last vision that they had had of Him. Plus, He just wasn't letting them see Him yet. But anyway, there's disbelief. Now, they'd heard that Jesus was alive. Verse 22, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. So they had heard that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Now he's talking about when Simon and John ran and looked in the sepulcher, and He was not there. They said, the angel said He was alive, and He wasn't in the tomb. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You see, they just hadn't believed yet. And that unbelief was clouding their vision, and they could not see. Jesus said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Jesus had told them He was going to go and suffer. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Jesus, as they walked along, went all the way back into the Old Testament, and He began to expound unto them what the Bible said was going to happen to Him. The Messiah was going to come. He was going to suffer. He was going to be wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah said. He was going to have marks in His hands, Zechariah said. He was going to be wounded in the house of His friends. Everything the Old Testament said about Jesus came to pass in His life, but this disbelief. Now, hard circumstances will really test your faith. And we're having, it could be a lot worse. But you know, for us as Americans, this is hard circumstances. And these circumstances are testing people's faith, testing our faith. We've never experienced anything like this in our lives. And as I read this, I detect that the disciples had some bitterness about what had happened. We trusted that He had been the one. We didn't think that things were going to turn out like this. And the women said they saw some angels, and Simon found an empty tomb, but we didn't see Him. You know, a lot of people, they say this. They say, if I see, I'll believe. No, you won't. Seeing is not believing. They were walking with Jesus, but they still didn't see Him. He said, if I could see Him. No, faith is a matter of the heart. And until faith comes in our heart, then our eyes are open, but not until. They had disbelief. They were walking with the Lord Jesus, but they could not see Him. Now, the last thing I've been getting to, the last thing, the cure for despondency. There's the cause, first of all, the way they were taught, the conclusions that they had made. There's the consequences. They were going away from Jerusalem. They were going away from the Lord. Their eyes were, their discernment was messed up. They couldn't see. Their heart was full of unbelief. They couldn't understand the scriptures. But what I want you to see this morning, and I'm almost done, is the cure for despondency. Now, it was not in seeing is believing. It was not in that. A lot of times people think, oh, if I could see, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. You ever see a rainbow in the sky? That's the promise of God. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter number 8. And every time it rains and the sun is shining, there's a rainbow in the sky. That's God's promise. That's God's sign, God's covenant. But it doesn't make people believe. Seeing is not believing. They saw the Lord. They were walking with the Lord, but they were not believing. Seeing is not believing. The cure was not in the message. Now, the Lord Jesus preached to them, and I'll tell you, I'd have loved to heard what he had to say. Verse 27 says this, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." They had a message from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is preaching to them, Jesus, as they're walking down the road. Jesus is taking the Old Testament scriptures and he's proving to them and showing them, this is what the scriptures say. This is what the scriptures say was going to happen. Wouldn't you love to hear that message? Now, the message did spark the flame in their heart. Verse 32, the Bible said, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Boy, I love that. As faith began to grow in their heart as they walked along and they heard what the scripture had to say, and they said, I can just see him, you know, yeah, that's right. Psalms chapter 22, yeah, that's right. Isaiah 53, that's right. The Passover lamb, yeah, that's right. You know, he did have to suffer. You know, we don't want to hear about this suffering business, but Jesus showed them from the scripture. But it wasn't even the message that changed everything for them. The cure for despondency is found in verse number 30. In verse 31, the Bible said, and in verse number 30, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Their eyes were opened by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what it takes? The cure for despondency. We've got to see him. We've got to get our eyes off all the circumstances and off of what everybody else is saying about everything that is going on. And you've got to get in your heart and your mind that you want to see him more than you want to see anything else. And they saw him. He revealed himself. You know, Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20 says this, "Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there am I in the midst of them." And you know what? We had two disciples here. And you know who else is there? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, don't be disheartened because we can't meet together today. If you got two or three, there's room for him. There's room for the Lord Jesus to reveal him, to open your eyes that you could really see him until we get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can grow up in church. You can hear the gospel message three times a week. You can hear the greatest preacher in the world expound the scriptures to you. But until your eyes are open and you see him, you'll never get it. Say, "Preacher, what's all this about?" It's about him. It's about the Lord Jesus. It's about all this talk about Easter. What's that about? It's about this, that Jesus came. Jesus died upon the cross for our sins. Not that he had sinned. Not that he had done anything wrong. He died the just for the unjust. He took our place on Calvary. He paid for our sins. The Bible says the gospel is this, and that he died, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what we're celebrating today. If Jesus had not gotten up out of the grave, there'd be no hope for any of us. But he got up on the third day. And he appeared to the disciples, and he appeared to the women, and he appeared to over 500 disciples, and he was here on the earth for 40 days, 50 days before he went back to heaven on Pentecost. And he's alive today. That is the good news that the Bible has to give to us, that Jesus Christ is alive today. And so they saw him. They were sad until they saw him. But boy, when they saw him, how it changed. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." I love that. What did they do? They went out and said, "Hey guys, he's alive. We saw him. He came to us." And then if you read on down, verse 36 said, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you." And as we leave the message today, I want to say that in closing. Peace be unto you. And the only way to have that peace, that real peace, is to have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, and we believe upon him with all of our heart. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so I hope and pray, my prayer today is that you have believed with all of your heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. He's alive. And there's peace for you today. Peace be unto you. But we got to grasp it by faith. And then our eyes will be opened. And boy, we can see him. So thank you so much for watching today. I hope you have a wonderful Easter. We have not met together as a church. Our families are not meeting together today. But I'll tell you, the Lord can meet with us. What a blessing that is. I'm going to pray. And if you have needs, spiritual needs, need someone to talk to, please reach out. We have a whole church full of people. There's Christians all over the place. Would love to share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. So would you pray with me today? And thank you so much for listening in. And let me say, I want to encourage you to tune in Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We're studying the book of Galatians together, and it's really good. And so I hope you'll tune back in then. So I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for the blessing of your word. I'm thankful for the Scriptures. I'm thankful for the promise that all we need for you to meet with us is two or three that will gather together in your name. And I pray that you would take the message today and use it to speak to hearts and help your people, and help those who may not know you. Lord, I pray that during this time that there would be many, many people would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but you'll have to open their eyes and reveal yourself to them. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would do these things. Help us, Lord, not to be despondent, but help us to be full of faith because you are alive. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. And so thank you for watching, and God bless you is our prayer.